Lights, camera, action.
And the winner is...
Welcome back to the Oscar Real Movie Podcast, where we talk Best Picture winners, nominees. I am your host, Matthew Schmidt. Alongside me, my co-host, Haley. And we have a special episode today. We are not talking about a Best Picture winner, at least yet. But, I don't know if you heard, Haley, but a Batman movie came out recently.
Really?
Have you heard about the movie that we went and saw already?
I haven't.
Okay, well, this is going to make this episode very awkward since we're going to be reviewing and talking about The Batman, the Robert Pattinson, Thank you, Mrs. Downey Movies, directed by Matt Reeves. So that's what we're going to be reviewing, talking about today. We'll start with non-spoilers for those who haven't seen it yet but want to hear what we have to say. We will, after that, then go through the plot of the movie pretty quickly and then go through some more spoilery talking points. And this is a spoiler-heavy movie, so be prepared. But first, as usual, let's just quickly go through what we've been doing lately. It's been a little while since we put out an episode. What have we been up to lately?
All kinds of things.
Like
no,
what?
Not really, though. Well, I mean, we went on vacation.
Yep.
A couple of weeks ago now. That was nice. Went to Arizona. I picked up a book.
Oh, you picked up a book.
First time.
Did you read the book?
2 years. I'm currently reading it. Still working on it. Good. But it's been good. It's gotten me coming back. Your brother actually gave this to me for a Christmas gift a couple years ago.
Nice.
Finally started reading it. It's called The Nest. It's about these like 40-something-year-old siblings who are anxiously awaiting their trust fund payout.
Yeah, rich people want more money.
So yeah, but it's been good reading again. I haven't read since the pandemic started, which is so embarrassing. But oh well,
I go through life cycles. I go through cycles of different things. I wanna pick up reading again.
There you go. I've also picked up watching the Netflix show Working Moms. Been watching that a little bit more often. I'm almost done watching it. It's been pretty good. Terrible people. Just terrible people in that show. But it's very funny. So
I had someone point out recently that a lot of good shows lately are just, it's about terrible people.
Yeah. Who get themselves caught in like bad situations.
Yeah. Like going back to like The Sopranos and Mad Men, Breaking Bad. Like it's like stuff like that. It's like, oh, it's just bad people. I guess people are, they want to watch shitty people doing shitty things, I guess.
Oh, that's why I watch The Housewives.
I was saying, that's reality TV. So there you go.
Yep. Sometimes anyway.
Yep.
And then something kind of podcast related.
And Housewives related.
And Housewives related. It's a perfect segue. I went and saw a podcast show live last weekend in Chicago. I went and saw the guys that do the Watch What Crappens Bravo podcast. It was such a fun time. It was a good time. Went with a friend of ours and we had a blast.
How much do you think we could charge someone to sit and watch us record live?
Oh, we would have to pay someone to
like
watch us
in our basement with the lights off.
Oh
right
my
now.
God. Yeah. No, we, yeah.
Like they're just sitting over there in the corner. How much do you think we could charge for that?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
We would have to pay them. I'm telling you. We'll give you food and beer and you can
Just pick off some Joe Schmo down the street. Just pay $10, sit in our basement.
No, like we would have to pay our friends to do this.
Oh, we can't even pay like people we don't know?
No, I don't think so.
All right. So anyway.
Going for me, my mom was like, are you recording video for this? I don't need anyone to see me. Are you taking video clips of this? So that's my perspective.
I have been watching The West Wing, not to get political on this movie podcast about a fictional president and TV show, but that I never
took place 20 years ago.
Yeah, I never watched it. Figured why not?
Yeah,
it's good. It's Aaron Sorkin. I knew this
classic
was
television.
I knew this was like one of his first things that put him on the spotlight because he wrote like every episode of the first four seasons. But it's good. Just started season 4. But yeah, been enjoying it. Martin Sheen, Rob Lowe.
Who's your favorite
Bradley
character?
Bradley Whitford. Bradley Whitford plays Josh. Or Rob Lowe. I know he leaves the show pretty soon, I think, at the end of season 4.
He moves to Pawnee.
Yeah, exactly. He plays, he talks very similar. I don't know if he can't talk like that in real life. I think
he probably does to an extent. And I feel like his Chris Traeger is just like an amplified version of his, like, kind of robotic talking.
But his character in West Wing is like, yeah, he talks very neurotic and robotic. And he thinks, like, it is a very similar character.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly the same. He isn't, like, upbeat all the time. But he talks and kind of acts similarly. So it's interesting. Allison Janney, good. So Dulé Hill. I never knew he was in that show until I heard an interview of his recently. Like, I just didn't know Dulé Hill was
really
in that show.
Like, even you knew him from Psych, you didn't know he did West Wing before
Correct.
Psych?
Correct.
No way.
Never knew that. And he's in, like, every
episode. I knew
episode.
That.
Yeah, good. Congrats.
But my mom watched the West Wing.
No
so.
One in my house watched the show. Yeah. So, anyway, so West Wing talk. Other thing we're doing, like every other crazy video game person in the world, I've been playing Elden Ring. I'm only, like, 9 hours in because we got a kid and I ain't got time for that. But it's fun. It's open world. It's hard. I haven't been big in the Souls games. People who know Elden Ring know what that means. But it's been fun. I don't know. Like, I'm not, like, obsessed with it. Like, I know some people are, especially on Twitter. It's really fun. Like, you know, the fans of this game and the Souls games are, like, they just think they're better than everyone else video game-wise because they're, like, this is the best game ever. And if you don't think that, you're wrong. Like, you know, gosh, calm down. It just, whatever. Anyways, it's been fun. I've enjoyed it. But I can see why it's not a game for everyone.
Yeah.
That's we've been doing lately, so we'll skip Trailer Park, everything else. Let's just dive into The Batman. Did you want to, I've got some info on it here. Did you want me to run through it? Did you want to run through it?
No, I'll run through it.
Okay.
Yep. You mentioned this already. It's directed by Matt Reeves. He also did the script. I kind of looked into other stuff he's done. I did not know that he did, like, the Planet of the Apes.
It's kind of what he was known for.
Reboot, yeah.
That was, like, really is far, unless you have something else, like, that's the thing that he's known for going into this. I can't think of much else he's done.
Well, did you know this? He was a co-creator of the television show Felicity?
No, I've heard of that show, but I can't remember what it's about.
I never watched it, but that's Carrie Russell.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Like,
random?
late.
This is very different than that.
Yes. That's why, like, I had to double check. I'm like, okay, like, I straight up clicked on Matt Reeves' name. It's not like I'm Googling him and there's, like, a different Matt Reeves that did Felicity. No, same guy.
It's like, what's his name? Mad Max. I want to say George Martin, but it's Elden Ring.
George Miller.
Martin. George Miller did Babe.
Yeah. Okay. Mad Max and Babe.
Yeah.
Two different ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Yep. So, written and directed by Matt Reeves. The cast, you already mentioned Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne / Batman. Zoe Kravitz played Selina Kyle / Catwoman. Jeffrey Wright is in here as Lieutenant Gordon. That was kind of interesting to hear, like, when they first talked about him, like, you kind of know him typically as Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, Gary Oldman did the same thing.
Yeah. Colin Farrell plays the Penguin, Paul Dano as the Riddler. Those are kind of like your main players here. But we also have Andy Serkis, who played Alfred. Yep. John Turturro as Carmine.
Who I didn't know. I didn't know he was in this movie. I didn't watch too many trailers or look at IMDb for this movie because I want to be surprised.
Yeah.
Didn't know John Turturro was going to be in this. That was kind of a cool, nice surprise.
Yeah, I thought so too. Then another name, Peter Sarsgaard, is in this as district attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Some other things here. Budget for this movie. Did you see what this came in at?
Yeah. I have a range, but I've heard it's on the higher end of the range.
Yeah.
200 million.
200 million, which makes it one of the highest budgets for Batman film.
What are the Nolan ones?
I think Dark Knight is still the highest.
Okay.
At like 250 from what I remember seeing. But yeah, 200 million budget for this. The opening weekend in the U.S. and Canada pulled in $128 million. Worldwide right now, they're coming in at just about $250 million.
Yeah, which is office. Over what it was projected, which is kind of a nice sign. Budget for The Dark Knight was $185 million, so it was actually under this. Okay. But yeah, it was projected.
Movie budget stats are always weird, though. I feel like you could look three different places and see.
I looked up The Batman. It was $185 to $200, like on Wiki. But that I heard that it was kind of confirmed at $200. But but yeah, it overperformed. I think the projected was $110 million for you for domestic.
So like the opening.
Yeah, so it did 130 or whatever, and then worldwide did really good. So. Nice sign. It is PG-13. It's not R, so that helps. But it's 3 hours long, so it's a three-hour movie. So it's a little surprising, but nice to see it like performing well in that respect. So yeah, no awards yet. Obviously, nope. I have IMDb rating of 8.6 currently, and then Rotten Tomatoes is a certified 86%, and then 89% for audience. And then 72 for the Metacritic. So all pretty good numbers.
Yeah.
They're all slightly below like Dark Knight numbers. We'll get into that later. But overall pretty good. What did you, non-spoilers, what did you think of The Batman?
It's, to me, it is, I think it's best classified as a thriller. Like through and through, it's just like there's, it's like all gas, no brake. Is how I felt about it. It's very intense, but it's like also a slow burn, if that makes sense.
Like I get what you're saying.
It starts intense, and it just stays intense. It just stays there and stays there and stays there. And that's like, that's how I felt watching it. Mm-hmm. I think Paul Dano's Riddler is horrifying because it's like he feels like such a believable like real life nut job. Like this could be someone who lives down the street and is just like, yeah, I'm a fucking nut job and this is what I'm gonna do. It's like, oh yep, that's believable. Like to me, like someone like the Joker is always like, that's a little further out there. Like I don't know if anyone goes to that level.
He's like supernatural in a way. The Joker is.
Yeah, but the Riddler felt like, oh god, this could be
some guy that we have to come in our basement and listen to us record a podcast.
You know, like that could be the creep down the street, which I can talk more about that later. But it was enjoyable. I'll say this: it was very intense, but I liked the story. I liked the artistic aspects of it. Overall, it's enjoyable.
Okay. Yeah, it's it's Detective Batman.
Yeah.
First off, I don't think that's a spoiler. I think that part of it was done pretty well because Batman in the comics is very much like he doesn't have a superpower, but his superpower in a way is he's smarter than everyone and is the world's greatest detective. I don't think that's really been portrayed on screen before.
Yeah, I like that it was more. Like, focus more on, his detective skills, his intelligence, and, like, his money was part of it instead of, oh, I have all this money to develop all these gadgets and that's how I know things, instead of, like, I know a lot of things and I'm going to use my money and technology to enhance that.
I really didn't feel like his money came into play in this movie.
No,
like,
it didn't. You couldn't really feel like it.
Get a feeling, other than knowing Bruce Wayne is a millionaire, like, you didn't really get a feeling that he had a bunch.
Obviously, like, certain things that he had is like, oh, okay, you can do the little camera lens on your eyelid because you can develop that yourself. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it wasn't like, look at all this money I have.
Yeah.
Look at all the things I can do.
Yep. It was very dark, gloomy. I think the first hour of the movie is all in the rain. Like I felt like it's just always raining and it's always nighttime at Gotham.
Yes. I was going to say the only scenes during the day are like super cloudy or rainy. And there's like one scene during the day.
Yeah, so it's very dark.
I'd love to see one of those, you know, how people do the, like, color profile for, like, the length of a movie. Like, they just put it into, like, it would just be all gray.
Yeah, all black and gray.
Yeah.
I like how he's introduced in the movie. I don't think that's a spoiler. So, the beginning of the movie, he narrates it a little bit, but...
Oh yeah, you're right. Him. It does start out with some narration.
Yeah, it's him talking about how he instills.
Kind of wish they had kept up with that
fear. I think it was all right.
Okay.
he instills fear in people, and that's how he keeps the city in check. And it shows a series of small crimes going on. And then each criminal kind of looks off around the corner and they just see like a completely black alleyway, dark. And it's kind of like, is he there? I don't know. And they, you know, run away. They show like two or three of those. But then it shows this gang there in the trailer, this like gang of teenagers robbing or attacking this citizen. And then all of a sudden you kind of hear footsteps in the distance, and then Batman just walks out from the dark. I thought that was really cool, kind of raised the intensity level. And that was a cool fight scene. And it's the one from the trailer, and he beats the shit out of a guy, and they go, "Who the hell are you?" And he goes, "I'm Vengeance," which is kind of a thing. Like, he calls himself Vengeance a couple times in the movie, and then Catwoman calls him Vengeance throughout the movie. She doesn't call him Batman. She's just like, that's his thing. He's trying to instill fear into everyone, and mm-hmm. he is Vengeance. He's brutal. Like, he's the most brutal Batman we've probably seen. He beats the fuck out of everyone that he wants to, at least. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought it was great. I agree it was probably a little too long. Like we said, it's 3 hours long. There's some, maybe some parts you could cut out. But overall, I thought it was a great Batman movie. I've heard certain complaints that we can get in spoilers, I guess. But no, overall, I thought it was great. Robert Pattinson was great as Batman. Not a lot of Bruce Wayne in this. It is, and that's, I don't think that's a spoiler either, because the director was very upfront about that. Like, in production, leaning into this, he's like, this is going to be a Batman movie. There won't be a lot of Bruce Wayne in it. And mm-hmm. I think that was right. So Robert Pattinson was great. The Paul Dano as a Riddler was good. Colin Farrell's unrecognizable as the Penguin, but I think he was one of the better parts of the movie. Mm-hmm. He kind of had this, "Oh, hey, sweetheart." Like, he's kind of this old-timey, like kind of right-hand man of Falcone. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just like the way he kind of talked and like presented himself. He was really good in it. Jeffrey Wright was really good as not Commissioner, Lieutenant Gordon.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the only cop that trusts Batman.
Yep.
So it's kind of cool seeing that relationship a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't. It got a lot of like Zodiac 7 vibes to it, mm-hmm. which is another thing I've heard people say, like, "Oh, it's just a ripoff of other movies." Like, every movie is a ripoff of every movie at this point. Like,
yeah.
Star Wars is a ripoff of like 4 different movies, but like no one cares. It's like a good movie. So, but yeah, it's got vibes of some other movies in it. But a thing that I like, you kind of brought it up about the Nolan movies, is like, "Oh, Batman's rich and he has all these things." I like comparing it or saying the Nolan movies, I feel like, are, we're going to give Batman all of his gadgets, but we're going to try to give it a realistic rationale. Like, "Oh, he can glide with his cape. How can he do that?" "Oh, it's like if you put an electric charge in it, then the cape stiffens and he can use it as like a glider."
Mm-hmm.
Or the Batmobile is this military grade bridge builder. So it's, you know, the tumbler. So that's why it's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, they're trying to give rationale for all of his gadgets. His suit is like a body suit for a super soldier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for those are all the Nolan things. This, I feel like, is like, what if Batman was just a dude? Like, he doesn't have to, the Batmobile is just a souped up car. It isn't like the Tumbler or anything crazy or shooting missiles out of it. It's just a really souped up car. He doesn't really have any gadgets other than like one or two, like the grappling hook. He is pretty bulletproof, which is the only maybe unrealistic part.
Yeah.
But I don't know. For the most part, I felt like it was a pretty realistic take on like what a normal person might be as Batman. The only time he flies is his cape can't become a glider. He literally changes it into like one of those squirrel suits and flies.
Yep.
So I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. I mentioned a little earlier, I liked some of the artistic qualities of it. Like, I liked the different styles of the camera work, like
the directing
like,
is great.
Like blurry around the edges, like there's more focus in the center of the screen, or like they had a lot of angles from like the ground up kind of thing. So it's just kind of reiterated that like gritty film noir type feel.
No,
there's some stills where it's just like here's just a look down the alley in the rain for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
There's nothing happening. It's just setting the scene for the next part that's going to happen.
Yeah. No, I thought the way Matt Reeves directed was great. He instilled anxiety in some parts of it.
Yep.
Like at one point, Batman has to reach inside a cage that has an animal in it to like to get something in it. Mm-hmm. And he does it really slow and methodically and careful. And it's a like a one shot. It takes 20 seconds to do it. And the whole time you're just like, is something going to happen? Yeah, but no. Yeah. Or there's a bunch of frames where it's pitch black and then boom, like a headlight turns on or something. Or there's an overhead shot where Batman's got like a flare. And it's like you can't see a whole lot around him, but just the flare is lighting it. I thought the directing was great in this, for sure.
Yep, I'd agree.
So score-wise, I would give it a 9.3. It's definitely up there for me. I still have The Dark Knight as a higher score, just because I think I picture The Dark Knight as a just kind of straight-up action movie.
Yep.
It's more maybe palatable for the average audience goer, where this is truly a maybe not a whodunit because you know who's doing all the crimes, but the mystery is kind of why he's doing it. But it's more of a thriller, like you said, mystery, you know, not a ton of action. So that's kind of how I differentiate the two.
Yeah, I'm scoring this at an 8.5. Really enjoyed the storyline, the characters were great. I think Reeves did a good job of getting that uneasiness to like come through the screen. But yeah, at 3 hours, like that was just really overwhelming for me. Like that level of intensity for that long, that was just a lot for my emotions to handle. So, yeah, an 8.5 for me.
Okay.
I don't spoil things. Name me one thing that I've actually spoiled.
All right. Perfect. So, we will dive into spoilers next. So if you haven't seen it, maybe stop here. But if you have seen it or you don't really care and you want to listen along, keep going. But we will dive into spoilers. First thing I'll do, just try to quickly talk through the movie, some things that happened really quick. The movie actually opens with, I'm pretty sure it's the Riddler. Like it opens with the binocular lens where someone's watching someone else's home. Turns out it's the Riddler, and he kills the current mayor who's running for re-election. And then it cuts to Batman, who is in, you know, it's at night, it's raining, the bat signal's up, he's instilling fear in people. That's when the gang fight happens from the trailer. The narration mentions he's in his second year of being Batman, and he's unsure if he's doing anything, like if he's actually making any change. The fight with the gang is pretty good. He goes up against like 8-9 guys, kind of gets beat up a little bit, but he ends up beating them. And then this is something that's cool about this movie that isn't portrayed in too many other movies, his relationship with the police. So they let him in to a crime scene, which I think was like you see in the trailer, it isn't anything you didn't know going into it, but it's still just crazy, like watching all these cops give Batman this glare of like, what the fuck is this guy doing here?
Yeah, I would say it's more like Lieutenant Gordon lets him in while the others kind of go, what? This was like one of the few moments of comic relief where they're like Gordon, what are we doing? What is Batman doing here? He's like, he's got gloves on.
Yeah,
you know, I'm just like, really? Okay.
Like he's touching everything. No. He's like, he's got gloves on. It's fine.
Yeah.
So they let him into the crime scene. He starts looking at Mayor's like dead body and some of the clues left behind. He solves the riddle that was left behind. That's when it's revealed that he has a camera lens, like you mentioned. So he like recorded everything on his eyeball.
Yeah.
He recorded everything. So he's like printing stuff off and solving it because the cipher was left behind. That's when he finds out that the mayor had been going to a nightclub. He'd frequented this nightclub that the Penguin runs. That's where the Batman goes there to question the Penguin, runs into Selina Kyle, who works there, and they start working together because she has like a roommate or maybe more than that who gets caught up in all this. So they start working together to solve what's going on. Then like a series of riddles happen where a bunch of different people are targeted. You start realizing like why they're being targeted, and it's because there's two mob families in Gotham, the Maronis and the Falcones, and Maroni is put in jail, and there was a rat who like was an informant, put him in jail. So the Riddler's trying to figure out who the rat is, and no one wants to reveal it because they think, or they say, that it would unravel the whole city. So I like that. I like that stakes were kind of given, like, oh, this is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that. So Peter Sarsgaard gets involved. He's the DA. That's one of my favorite, like, that's a scene I really like when he gets, so the funeral, during the funeral of the mayor, a car rams into the funeral, and it's Peter Sarsgaard as the DA, who's like taped up with a bomb and, you know, is like, has a note for the Batman, and the Batman shows up and they go through, they solve a series of riddles, but Peter Sarsgaard is not willing to give up who the rat is. Like, he dies for it, which is crazy.
Yeah.
One of my favorite riddles is there, because it's like URL. It's like URL rata something.
Mm-hmm.
And they think it's like a Spanish phrase.
Yeah. El is like El Rata Alada. And they're like, oh, like the winged rat. Like, what is or, that? What is that?
Yeah. Mean? Or stool. Oh, it can mean stool pigeon. It could mean bat. It could mean whatever. But it was really URL. So it was like www.rata, you know, whatever the phrase was, .com. And then it
which
revealed. Which
Penguin helped them figure out.
Yep. Exactly. That was what they're chasing.
He's like, El Rata, it should be La Rata. And he's like, Riddler doesn't make mistakes. Like, yeah, this exactly. has to mean something.
Exactly. That was after the cool chase scene that's partly in the trailer where the Riddler, not the Riddler, the Penguin gets toppled over, and you see like the imagery of the bat upside down, which is really great. At one point, Bruce Wayne becomes a target of the Riddler because there's some backstory on Thomas Wayne where he was involved with the Falcone family a little bit. He maybe wasn't the greatest guy in the world. There's a little darkness to him. He was willing to work with the Falcone family to like solve some family issues.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get to the big time spoilers. It's revealed that Falcone, John Turturro, was the rat. Like, he ratted out on Maroni, and in return, the entire city basically works for him. The cops, the DA, like, everyone works for Falcone. And that doesn't stop the Batman from arresting him. And then as he's being arrested, the Riddler kills Falcone. And then he himself, like, kind of gives him up. In a coffee shop, the Riddler does. So then he goes to jail. A little seven-ish with that. That's some of the correlation, like in mm-hmm. seven. And then the third act happens where Batman goes to talk to the Riddler at Arkham. And it's revealed that the Riddler thought the Batman was working with him. Like, he thought, oh, we were working together. It's like, no, we weren't. So the Riddler brought Batman to Arkham to save him because he planted bombs around the city that would blow up the seawall, flood the city. And then he had developed this online society or community that he asked to like bring guns to the induction of the new mayor and then like just shoot people and take them out. So Batman, then it's the big fight scene. He goes to it's like a stadium or arena.
Yeah.
And then takes
like
out.
Like Gotham Square Garden.
Yeah.
Like, creative with that. Okay.
Yeah.
Wonder what this is supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. And then he, with the help of Gordon and Catwoman, take out the Riddler gang. They're all dressed like him. And then he helps rescue all the citizens from the flood. And realizes one of the Riddler clones or whoever, they say, like, they capture him. They're like, who are you? And he goes, I'm justice, or I'm vengeance. And that's when the Batman, like, has his realization that he's kind of been going about things wrong. You can't just instill fear in everyone. Mm-hmm. You have to instill hope in the good people. So he helps dig out citizens in the rubbish in, like, the flood.
Wreckage.
And then, you know, it, like, helps medevac people out, like, as Batman. And then it kind of ends with him instilling hope. It actually ends with one of my least favorite scenes, the movie. And that's when it shows the Riddler in Arkham, and he's got like a little next door neighbor in his cell. And it isn't explicitly said, but it's hinted at that it's the Joker in that cell next to him, and they're gonna like team up together. It actually ends with Batman and Catwoman like driving off in separate directions because, like, oh, they're going on a different path. Oh, there we go. Okay, so it's a metaphor, but they're doing it. There you go. So yeah, that's a quick-ish run through of the movie. Again, 3 hours long. Didn't get everything. If you haven't seen it at this point, you're still listening, I would still recommend seeing it because it is very good. But yeah, that's basically what happens in this. So, some more spoilery discussion. What did you think of, like, the Batman? Like, he solved every riddle, like, on the spot. Did you have an issue with that? Or do you think it was just a good sign of how smart he is or was? Like, what did you think
there? No, because I mean, he didn't solve, like, every single one immediately.
Yeah.
You know, like the URL one, like that took a little while.
That one was good. You know? And that's why that was made my favorite because it took a while.
And even the cipher that was left at this, like the crime scene where when the mayor was killed, like he brought the cipher back and Alfred was the one who helped him solve it. You know, so it's like I think there was some back and forth, but also like when the DA had to like solve 3 riddles in 2 minutes, like when he said the first one, I'm like, oh, the answer is justice. Like that's one that you don't have to be Batman. You don't have to be Detective Batman to figure that out. Mm-hmm. You know, so some of them were easier to figure out. So that didn't bother me. I felt like it was a good balance of like what he knew and what took a while to figure out.
Yeah. I like what you said about the URL one and the ones that took a little longer. I guess like maybe it would have been nice to have a little bit of time between to like you knew the justice one right away, but like to give maybe the audience a little time to think it over. Cause like the very first one is with the dead mayor and it's what does a dead liar say or do? What is it?
What happens to a liar when they're dead?
And it's, they lie still. Like he said that like right away. So I don't know, maybe I'm just not smart enough to get any of them and no matter the time, it didn't matter, but overall I thought it was good because I just liked seeing like, oh, how smart he was.
Well, I would say one of the coolest things to me or like the first clue that this guy really knows his stuff is that when he's looking at the mayor and they're like, oh, his thumb was cut off and he looks at it and he's able to determine, he's like, oh, well, based on this, his thumb was cut off while he was alive. So it's like, oh.
That was cool. Like, the medical stuff was great.
This guy knows some stuff.
That was one of my favorites. That was, like, the first thing he did. Mm-hmm. That was great. Like, the medical, no, this is why. I thought that was great. Like, that isn't, like, a riddle where it takes you time to think about it. That's just
his own,
like,
knowledge base of things, yeah.
Yep. What did you think? So criticism of the movie is there's not a lot of Bruce Wayne in this. What did you think of that? Did it bother you at all?
No.
Yeah. I think that was kind of it's year two. Cause, a thing in the Nolan movies is he pretends to be like a playboy millionaire. Like it's kind of the whole Bruce Wayne persona versus Batman. Like he makes a fake persona with Bruce. So people don't think he's Batman. And some people were like, oh, well, where's that in this movie? Mm-hmm. I just think it's year two. He just hasn't developed that as the Batman yet.
Well, yeah, and I think he's just, it kind of shows how, like, deeply ingrained, like, he just wants to be this Batman character all the time. So that's what he's doing.
It's like, it is his life. Like, he just does it. Yeah, like you said, all the time.
That was one thing that I mentioned this. This was one of the first things I mentioned in the trailer. I'm like, oh my God, they're actually admitting that Batman has eye black on under the mask. At first, I was kind of like joking about it, whatever, like, oh, that's funny. But Matt Reeves said, like, specifically, he's like, I wanted you to see the sweat and the perspiration, like, of the eye black, like, dripping down his face after he takes the call. Like, I want you to feel like he's Batman all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He takes that off and he's still Batman.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can appreciate why that was done.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. And we can talk about this for potential sequels, but I hope he develops that Bruce Wayne persona eventually. Cause I do think that's like, isn't a core thing, but it's a thing that happens. And like, it's a deterrent.
People were like shocked to see Bruce Wayne at
the funeral,
at the mayor's funeral. Like,
yeah.
Oh, who's this?
And it's here? Like, because this is his whole life, his hair is really long and he's just really pale. So it's kind of like, oh, Bruce Wayne, he's that weird pale looking guy. Like, he's probably Batman. Like, he's probably him. I like it when he has a persona to offset that. I didn't need it in this because it's year two, but hopefully he develops it later on.
For sure.
A couple nitpicky things for me that, you know, when it's a 9 or higher, like, I'm getting nitpicky. Like, yeah. Is anything that's going to lower the score a ton? But things that I didn't necessarily love in the movie, the whole point of Thomas Wayne in the not in the comics, but just Batman traditionally, is he is like a squeaky clean, just really good dude. Because then when he gets killed, like Batman, like Bruce does this in his honor. Like, no, like for my dad. And they kind of bring it up in the movie. Robert Pattinson says, like, oh no, I do this in honor of my dad. But when it's revealed that he worked with Falcone a little bit, and I know Alfred kind of debunks it a little by saying, no, maybe Falcone's lying, but like, he still wasn't as squeaky clean.
Tarnishing it a little
bit. Yeah, like, I didn't love that. Like, that's very nitpicky. It probably isn't that big a deal, but it's just something that I didn't love. I kind of like Thomas Wayne being put on the pedestal. Yeah.
Do you know if that comes up in any of the comics?
So in The Long Halloween, which this is partially based on, it is Carmine Falcone gets shot and does go to Thomas Wayne's house to get like patched up. And they mentioned that happens in this movie.
Yeah.
That is a pull from The Long Halloween. Because in the comic, Bruce discovers or sees his dad do that, like, as a little kid, and always kind of thought in the back of his head, maybe my dad was working with Falcone and was really worried about that. But it turned out in the comic that, like, he just did it because he's a doctor and it's his moral duty to do it. But then he never worked with Falcone again. So that's really the only thing. But that's why, like, in Joker, the Joaquin Phoenix movie, they made Thomas Wayne like an asshole in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I hated. You're that. Because right. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, is he your bastard son? And he calls the Joker's mom like a crazy person and punches him. Like, Thomas Wayne sucked in that movie and I hated that. But for the most part, he's usually portrayed as a squeaky clean guy. And I kind of like that. But again, nitpicky. The reveal that Falcone is the Rat, I thought was a little, I don't want to say disappoint. Like, it was a little disappointing. Like, when they set this up as like this huge, it's going to be a big reveal. It's something that's going to unravel Gotham to its core. I thought it was kind of like of course, like Maroni and Falcone are the two mob bosses.
Yeah, crime
of course,
boss
Falcone.
Is the one.
Of course, the head of the other family would be the one to run
out. Yeah.
I thought that was a little bit of a letdown. Not like the worst thing it could have been, but a little bit of a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hated the Joker at the end. Because the Joker, and this could be a personal thing, it might not be an issue for everyone,
okay. But
to me, the Joker was done pretty perfectly in The Dark Knight, where with Heath Ledger, where he's just a mystery. You don't know where he came from. He's got no fingerprints. His only motivation is chaos. He doesn't really like working with other people. He likes working alone. Other than like hiring thugs and stuff, but like not with another main villain. And in this, he is already in Arkham, so he got captured somehow. Like, Batman's usually the only one who can capture Joker, but he's somehow in Arkham already. And it was just like this little throw in. Like, I felt like they just threw it in to be like, oh, look, it's the Joker, like the most popular Batman character. Like, here he is, but he's like already in Arkham, which probably means they know who he is. You know,
sure.
Like, that's not a guarantee.
Yeah.
But like, and the way that he just went, like, oh, Riddler, like, let's work together. Ha ha. Like, I don't know. It just seemed kind of cheesy, or like it was like a throw in.
You wonder.
And like, I feel like it takes away some of the like mystery behind the Joker.
Yeah. You wonder what sort of like history he has at that point with Batman, because maybe like hearing Riddler talk to the Batman was like part of his motivation, but I don't like what are the two of them going to do while they're in Arkham?
I think it was just like this. Oh, well, you know? When we escape from here, we're going to like work together.
When we're done, let's do this.
But I don't know. I really didn't like that. So yeah, I don't know. I have a couple other things to talk about, but are there any other spoilery things that you wanted to talk about?
I had one thought in the movie, and I just thought of this as you were kind of talking about like the different, you know, iterations of Bruce Wayne, Thomas Wayne, whatever. I literally had this thought in the movie theater. I'm like, isn't it mind-blowing how we have people making this style of Batman movie, but we also have like Batman and Robin, like,
oh yeah, the super George cheesy Clooney, yeah, nipples. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, really? Like,
come a long way.
This is how two different people have decided to tell Batman stories, and it just kind of made me laugh. So I had to say that because I thought that was funny. No, I mean, one thing I'll say, maybe this is a little bit of a trivia piece too, but Matt Reeves did, like, he spent the time like researching and talking with criminal behavioral analysts to write a legit Riddler character. And there's this podcaster that I follow, and that's what she does for a living. She's a criminal behavioral analyst, and she's like, Matt Reeves nailed it with the Riddler. Like, he's believable, and his motivations check out, like, totally lines up with how and why other, like, real-life criminals do the things they do.
He was an accountant.
I appreciate stuff like that.
He was, an accountant that kind of went...
Yeah, I think so.
Went, like... was inspired by Batman and kind of went crazy. And that's another thing the Long Halloween comic touches on. Does Batman's existence like create these costume villains?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of does. Yeah. It starts out with mob level stuff, but once he takes care of them, other villains get inspired. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he kind of does. Also, you've mentioned Batman and Robin. There's a shitty version of Bane in that movie. In this movie, Batman shoots himself with adrenaline, and it was a yellow color, and it made me think, is that Venom? Because Venom is, like, the name of the serum that Bane takes to become, like, he's a scrawny guy, dude who, and then when he takes Venom, he becomes bulky and strong. Mm-hmm. Don't know if it is. I have no idea if anyone else has made that connection, but I saw that it was yellow, and Venom is yellow in the comics, and that shitty Batman and Robin movie, so it made me think that.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to get your opinion on, because to me, like I said, this is more of like a thriller type movie. Mm-hmm. The Dark Knight trilogy was definitely like an action type movie. To me, I felt like the big car chase scene where Batman's like run down the Penguin felt out of place.
See, I can see it's like, oh, insert chase scene here type thing.
Yeah.
I could see
insert
that.
Insert explosions.
Right. Big explosion.
Yep.
I could see that. I didn't have a problem with it personally. I really like it. That's one of my favorite scenes of the movie. The thing that I do feel similarly with how you feel about that though is the whole third act, like post Riddler getting kidnapped,
mm-hmm.
I thought felt kind of tacked on. Because
like when he's like helping people like in the flooding and stuff.
Yeah, even just the flooding in general. Yeah. Like everything like after the Riddler like reveals the plan at the end. Because like I didn't mind it, but all of a sudden it's like there's seawalls at Gotham that they didn't really tell you about. And there's just these bombs that go off, and now there's this flood, and now there's these like gunmen, and Batman has, it just felt like we need a scene where Batman beats up like a bunch of people. Yeah.
Well, and
that whole last part felt because the Riddler's motivation was reveal the rat.
The rat. Yeah.
But then this whole like bomb thing got put on at the end.
Well, and that was one thing that I thought was weird too. Cause it's like, you have like on back-to-back nights, like on, like I think it was even less than 24 hours. You have the mayor killed. And then is it the DA right after that? Or was there another person in between? I felt like there was a smaller person in between. I might be wrong, though. But, you know, it's like, I feel like the first two or three murders by the Riddler. Oh, it was one of the, it was the commissioner. The commissioner was next.
He was in
that, like, rat cage.
Yep.
That one was creepy. So it was him, and then the DA, and those happened, like, boom, boom, boom. And then it's like, okay, what is the big payoff that the Riddler's trying to get to? Okay, it's the rat. And I feel like it took us so long to get there. And then, like you say, you find out that it's Falcone, and then, then it's, like, all these the flooding. So yeah, that did feel a little.
Yeah, like it didn't bug me too much, but I was just like, maybe if they would have, like, it rained this whole movie. I don't know if they could have, like, on the news, just in the background, just been like, oh, we're concerned that the seawall is all overflowed because of the rain.
They had so many news clips shown in this. So
yeah, I just felt like if they would have set it up better, it would have made sense, or leave more breadcrumbs of the Riddler was leaving bombs around the city. Because I felt like that just came out of nowhere. Like, oh, there's like 7 vans and bombs around the city. Like, maybe if Batman would have seen hints of like of bombs being moved or something, it just felt a little like tack that on at the end.
Yeah.
I
understand that.
Nothing crazy. Like I said, very nitpicky. It's still 9.3, but just wanted to bring it up. Did you have a favorite scene of the movie?
I don't know that I did. And yeah, not anything different than I already talked about. I think I appreciate the detective skills from him. Like I said, the thumb, he's like, oh, because of this
thumb drive.
Oh God. Yeah. The thumb drive. But no, it was just,
yeah, it's good. No, it's, I really liked when Catwoman's wearing the camera lens on her eye and Batman's directing her through stuff. But my favorite scene was maybe the DA with Peter Sarsgaard, like when he's just sitting in the funeral room and it's night and then Batman just walks in. And I felt like it led up to like an intensity level of them solving all these riddles back. And then like he explodes. I thought that scene was really good. So that might've been my favorite.
I guess maybe my favorite was when like Batman goes to see the Riddler at Arkham and you see Paul Dano. Yeah. Without his like mask on and just like, oh, his emotions were just like so good.
That was a great scene too, because you think he knows that Batman's Bruce. Like he says Bruce Wayne, and you're like, oh shit, does he know? But then, oh no, it was like kind of a fake out. Oh no, he doesn't. He was just saying, oh, Bruce Wayne, he's the only one we didn't get.
Yep.
I thought that was pretty
yes,
cool.
Yes, yeah. So okay, there we go. That's my favorite.
There you go.
I had to think while you were
nailed it.
Talking some more.
Yeah. It was 3 hours. There's a lot of scenes to choose from.
I know.
What do you think of this compared to Dark Knight, maybe specifically, but the Nolan movies? I do, like, we've talked about it, it's like Nolan's action, this is like a little more thriller, intense, and it's weird, like, that Dark Knight came out when we were in high school, so maybe our dumb, immature brains were like, action movie, yes, but like, later in life, maybe appreciate, like, a better plot, maybe not better, but like, more plot-driven movie. Mm-hmm. It was just hitting at different points of our life. But like, I have Dark Knight rated higher.
Mm-hmm.
But there's things about each movie that I like more than the other.
Yes, for sure. There are definitely things that I like in each movie, or if you compare it to the whole trilogy. But I like my comic book movies as like action movies. That's just what I expect from them. That's what I feel comfortable with. So I like that style better, but that doesn't take away from what this is. I still enjoyed this.
Mm-hmm. No, it's fair. The MCU has definitely, I think, helped. And I'm not saying that's why you think this, but like helped standardize like action movie. Like they've got an action movie formula and they rinse and repeat over and over again. So it probably helps. It makes it more palatable. But yeah, like Dark Knight, I think they did Joker and Two-Face like great or perfectly. I actually thought, instead of Joker at the end of Batman, I leaned over, I said, is that Two-Face? Because he had like a fucked up face, so I thought maybe
you couldn't really tell what he looked like that well. So
We haven't talked about Andy Serkis that much, but I thought the Michael Caine Alfred was maybe better. And maybe it's just Andy Serkis isn't in this that much. And he's like a younger
That's what I would say. Yeah.
But like I like the fatherly Michael Caine version a little bit more. But I like Gotham in the Batman more, like as a city.
You definitely get a lot more of it.
Well, and yeah, and it's
or at least that's how I feel. Or maybe they just did it in a way that like I noticed it more. Well, I don't know.
It felt like, here's a cliche of a comment. It felt like it was a character of the movie. Like they filmed in Scotland to like give a different feel. Versus the Dark Knight, it's like that's Chicago. That's just a Chicago street. That's a skyscraper. Mm-hmm. Like I felt that Gotham was done better in the Batman. Yeah, I mean,
Wayne Manor was just, like, straight up, like, gothic. Like, the architecture and that style and stuff, I'm just like, holy shit.
Which I actually didn't like. I thought that was a little too much.
It was way too much.
I'm like, no one would live in this.
No one would live there. No. I literally had the same thought, too. When he and Alfred are working on that first cipher, and they, like, have it at the... this is what it is. Like, Bruce walks in, and Alfred's just like, oh, there's orange juice or muffin. Like, he says something so trivial about breakfast. I'm like, this is where you sit and have breakfast?
Ridiculous.
It was absurd.
Ridiculous. Also, on that note, it isn't Wayne Manor. He, like, lives in a tower.
It is a tower in the middle of the city.
So there is
I didn't know what else to call it. But you're right. It was a tower.
But there is no Wayne Manor, there is a Batcave, but it's like a sewer or like a old train.
Like under an old train station.
So you kind of, and maybe you'll get it later on, like they do other movies. But I kind of miss the Wayne Manor. But yeah, he lives in a skyscraper, and it's like,
yeah.
No one would live there without that.
We haven't talked much about Zoe Kravitz as Selina Kyle.
She was great.
/ Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how you saw her, like, cat burglar.
Yeah, and she's got the long fingernails. She's got a lot of cats, as Batman says. Like you said, there's not a lot of humor in this, but like there's a couple moments that are like, oh, it's definitely trying to be funny. Like Gordon has Batman punch him so that Batman can escape the police department. Then he sees him later, goes, you could have pulled your punch. Batman's like, I did. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But Zoe Kravitz is great. I like how, so she's Falcone's daughter in this, which I think is something in The Long Halloween. I can't remember. It's been a little while since I've read that. But I like that. It's like a different layer of motivation for her. You get a little more backstory on her.
Yeah. Well, and I think like her and Batman had enough overlapping motivation to work together.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, but at the same time, like they each had different end goals. So she still like maintained like trying to do some of her stuff on her side, and he still wanted to do his stuff. And so I felt like you could understand why they wanted to work together, but also why they wanted to do their own thing. And like, it never felt like they were butting heads too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like it made sense whether they're working together or not. So yeah. I liked it.
No, that was great. That was another reveal too, where like she can't find her phone for most of the movie. And then she does find it, and it's her roommate who got murdered, left her a voicemail, and the voicemail is her getting murdered by Falcone. And that's like what gets Falcone arrested. Mm-hmm. I feel like just break the phone. Like I don't know why the villains kept the phone. Like just,
I was gonna
just
say, where did they find it?
It was on the cop, the dirty cop. So maybe because he's a cop, he felt like he shouldn't break it. But you're already a dirty cop. Like what are you doing?
Yeah.
But she was great. So yeah, okay. We've alluded to possible sequels.
Okay.
What would a sequel to this movie look like? Do you think? Do you keep? Because I feel like doing another mystery might be tough. Do you go action? What do you think? 4 hours long, 5 hours long.
I mean, I would like to see another mystery.
Just keep all of them being mysteries, or do you throw an action movie in there at all? Do you want the Joker to be the main villain in the next one? Because they threw him in at the end of this one.
I'm kind of sick of people just like continuing to do the Joker.
Right? Like, Jared Leto was kind of too much for me.
Yeah.
Like, that's the... Okay, well,
he's even kind of done, like, two different versions of the Joker himself, and it's just, like, it's just kind of exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I thought the Riddler was interesting, and even, like, the Penguin, because I have never seen much about
Danny
Penguin
DeVito
before, you know? So it's, like, come on, let's find a different villain here.
And some people argue the Riddler in this was kind of just the Joker, but, like, he left riddles, like they're very similar characters, so
sure,
but I don't think that's that big of a critique.
But yeah, I mean, maybe like it fast forwards like 5 years or 7 years from now.
Fast forward, okay.
Yeah, so, what's he been doing? So then you get like a different, you know, maybe that's where they can explore more of the Bruce Wayne side of him if they want to.
Okay.
It's like, oh, okay, like this is year two. Like, what do the next couple years look like?
Mm-hmm.
What's your 5-year plan, Batman? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I see myself living in this Gothic cathedral tower for a couple of years.
Okay, good for you.
And I know I probably have a little more insight with the comics, but I would love to be Court of Owls. which is a newer comic run by Scott Snyder. Court Owls is Batman finds out that there's this secret society of like rich people in Gotham that have been literally controlling everything like since Gotham's beginning. And the Dick Grayson, who is the first Robin, plays a big role in that comic, and he hasn't been introduced in the movie yet. But I feel like you could maybe introduce him as the Talon, comic book readers know what that is, as the Talon in the Court Owls. But that would be like kind of a good mixture of action and mystery. But another comic that is a straight up mystery, very similar to Long Halloween, is called Hush. So I think either of those would be pretty good adaptations for a next movie, but I think it's got to be a little shorter. I don't know if you can go straight miss. I think like a little more action. I would do Hush or something like that for the second one. The third one, maybe do like Court of Owls.
Okay,
but I don't want to see the Joker like right away.
No,
like maybe throw in hints of him being out there in the second one, sure. And then have him be in the third one.
Okay.
Something like that, but like just don't go straight to the Joker again. Which Joker, if you've seen Eternals, is Druig, and it was maybe spoiled. His name's Barry Keoghan?
Some, yeah, yep.
His brother on Facebook or something like months ago put a message out there like, oh, I can't believe my brother's the Joker, and then he deleted it immediately. Turns out he wasn't lying, so there you go.
There you go, yep.
All right, so yeah, that's the Joker. I had a 9.3. You had a, what, 8.5?
Yes.
So yeah, I mean,
you said that was the Joker. Do you mean to say this is the Batman?
Oh yeah.
Or were you just like tying your little story off?
No, it was
the Joker.
No, it's probably me talking too quick. That was okay. Probably me being dumb. So the Batman, 9.3 for me, 8.5 for you.
Yep.
Highly recommend. Overall, the people are giving it pretty good reviews. It's definitely one of the better Batman movies. It's different, which is what I like about it.
Yeah. I've got some trivia. Do you want to talk some Robert trivia? Robert Pat Triviason.
I like Brivia. Bat trivia.
Bat trivia. This is wild. Like, shit like this when this happened. So Matt Reeves, when he was working on the script, he had Robert Pattinson in mind when he wrote
the script. I love stuff like
that. Batman. But on the flip side, Robert Pattinson's just, you know, talking to producers and shit in Hollywood. And he's like, hey, I hear there's going to be a new Batman. I'm interested in it.
Just strutting around like Tobey Maguire and Spider-Man.
Exactly.
I'm
snapping.
Batman. I'm Batman.
Finger pointing. Women are like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Yes.
Sparkling in the sun, because he's Edward, you know?
Edward Cullen, yeah. No, Robert Pattinson simultaneously was like, hey, I hear there's new Batman, and I really want to be Batman. And so they're like,
I want to be the Batman.
Look at this. That worked out. And we talked a few of these things on here, like, Reeves confirmed that he kind of used like the Zodiac Killer for a basis for the Riddler,
rhymes.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
You
literally had a cipher.
Yeah. And just like even like his face coverings and stuff. Yeah. Some people have said that that's similar to what the Zodiac Killer did. But I love stories like this too. And here's something we have not talked about: the music score is incredible.
I liked it a lot.
It's so good. And here's where, like, when I say that the uneasiness just, like, seeps through the screen, like, I think of the Batman theme, and it just freaks me out. Like, it just, my blood pressure just, like, starts going up because I hear it, and I'm like, someone's about to die. Batman's supposed to, like, walk through the darkness, suddenly appear, like, you hear it, it's just very foreboding. It's so good. The guy who did it, let's see. Hold on. Let me pull up his name because I need to know how to pronounce it. Michael Giacchino. That's how he
Nailed
says
it.
He pronounces it. Giacchino. It's on his Twitter. Giacchino. That's how he says it. He developed the theme before Matt Reeves was even done with the script. I love shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
People are just so good at what they do. They're like, I got it. Music was fantastic. Here's one part that did not work out. Jonah Hill was originally
approached by the
Penguin. Yeah, no, Penguin.
Oh, okay. I do remember that.
Penguin. They had some disagreements on portrayal of the character, so it didn't work out. But after that, he then showed interest in playing the Riddler.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Which, honestly, I think that could have been really good.
Yeah.
I think he could have put a really interesting spin on Riddler.
No, yeah, I think
if they wrote it the same way as like Paul Dano, Jonah Hill could be a very creepy Riddler. I think he could pull it off.
Mm-hmm. He's a good actor. Like, he obviously is known for comedy, but like he's mm-hmm. a good actor.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, those
Colin Farrell was just really good as the Penguin. So I'm happy that that worked out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So those were some of the things that I thought were interesting to pull out. You mentioned a few times that Matt Reeves was inspired by The Long Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Its sequel, Dark Victory.
He mentioned also Batman Ego and Batman Year One.
Year One I've read. That one's like redefined Batman's origin story. That's Frank Miller. That's a very good, popular. I own it. It's right over there. That one's very good. Dark Victory's good. It's a direct sequel to Long Halloween. I haven't read Ego. So I'm gonna have to check that one out.
Yeah, there you go. So those are some things that I wanted to bring up.
Original or working title was Vengeance.
Yeah, there well that
makes sense. So yeah, all right. Batman. There we go. Check it out in case you've heard of it. A little indie movie.
In case you've heard
the of Batman. All right. Yeah. So that's the end of this episode. Make sure to follow us on social media at Oscar Real Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Leave us a review and rating on Apple and Spotify. It does ratings now. So leave us a rating there. And the next couple episodes, it's going to be a little while before we do like a Best Picture Real Justice episode. We're going to be watching and trying to bust out some reviews of this year's Oscar nominees. There's 10 of them. So we've watched 8. So we're going to try to get those reviews out there, maybe 2 per episode to get them out in time for the Oscars. So be prepared for that. But yeah, other than that, this has been Matt and Haley from the Oscar Real Movie Podcast.